薄いのアホ。
プリズムタワーメイクアップカードレ
ディー。 Welcome to Shoujo and Tell, where we discuss shoujo manga and tell who's hot and who's not, talk about themes, and just generally geek out. Today, October 10th, 2020, will be shoujo and telling about the second half of After School Nightmare by Setona Mizushiro. So that's volumes 6 through 10. I'm your host, Ashley McDonald, and I'm joined by Muna Torre. Hello, Muna.
Hello. Nice to talk with you again.
Oh, yes. I mean, man, it's just so many things happen, Muna.
Oh my god, so much.
I can see why you wanted, yeah, to split this into two, even though I was like, 10 is usually I do one episode, and you were like, no, trust me. Like, you don't want that, and you were right.
This series, like, you need some breaks, and you need, like, some time for it to marinate so you could think about it.
Yeah.
Because a lot happens. There's a lot to think about.
Yeah, just from chapter to chapter, you're like, wait, what is going on? All right, fine, sure.
That's weird. But that's kind of why I love it.
Yeah. Well, Muna, just in case somebody is like, I don't care what people have to say about the first five volumes where they know nothing about After School Nightmare, and they only listen to this podcast, who are you?
Oh, yes. Hello, my name is Muna Torre. My pronouns are she, her. I am a Black cartoonist and zinester. I make a lot of work that's very influenced by shoujo and otome. Yeah, I make comics. I also do some music stuff. I play harmonica and I write English fandom lyrics, basically.
Whoa, you play harmonica. That's like those things that everybody's like, wait a minute, what? Tell me more.
It's just consisting of me playing harmonica and learning and sort of making up covers of my favorite anime songs.
This is the best thing I've heard in a while, so I love it. Thank you for this joy.
You're welcome.
But yes, we are going to talk about a second half of a series that has a lot of twists. So if you have not read After School Nightmare, perhaps you don't want to listen to this because there are going to be so many spoilers.
It's going to be spoilerific. You might want to try to read ahead if you can, read what you can ahead of time.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the series is out of print, but it was fairly easy to find on eBay. And I don't necessarily condone this, but I'm sure you can find scanlations or whatever.
Yeah, probably, unfortunately, rip.
Or you can petition some publishers via their preferred methods of communication to buy the license. Again.
You're right. Someone could possibly license rescue this. Like,
yeah.
Quite a few series have gotten license rescued, like Fruits Basket.
Yeah, so we could do that.
Yeah, this was an Eisner. Was it an Eisner that it got nominated for? I think After School Nightmare won an award in the States for Best YA Series.
And Mizushiro, almost said Mizuhashi. That's a different thing. Mizushiro.
That's his last name.
Yeah, I was like, that's a character, Ashley. Duh. Don't get all the water people confused. Anyway, Mizushiro was nominated for an Eisner. Yeah, I don't remember what it was for, but she definitely was. So Mizushiro, a big deal. After School Nightmare.
Yeah,
a lot
she's
of things.
She's also making some current stuff these days too. Like she's more venturing into BL stuff these days, I think.
Well, who could have guessed?
Her style really lends itself to that. Like, I actually don't see a lot of overlap between artists who make both shoujo and BL, and I wish there was more overlap because the creator of Kiss Him Not Me did both. As one could probably tell from the story.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've always been like, oh, all these things are distinct. I'm like, well, yeah, why does BL have to necessarily not be shoujo? You know what? I'm not going to get into that right now.
Yeah. That could be a topic for another podcast.
That's a whole podcast onto itself. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but okay, now that we've given spoiler warning, for real, we're going to spoil all the things from here on out. Yeah. Okay. So, Muna, do you want to give a very quick walkthrough of like the very big points that happen to jog anybody's memory who they have read it maybe, but not in a while? Yeah.
So with volumes 1 through 5, some of the places we left off with was our protagonist, Mashiro. He was obsessed with the identity of the night in these dreams. And the little girl in the dreams, Ai, told him that that the night was so. The love interest / rival?
Question mark, question mark, question mark, yes.
Because I can't call him an antagonist. He's not really that either, but no. Maybe a foil, perhaps?
Yeah.
And I believe volume 5 ended with characters like Kurosaki Senpai, who was the captain of the Kendo Club, and Mashiro really, really admired his masculinity and wanted to be more like him. And in addition, there was a character who was not seen at the time, just sort of silhouetted, or the panel kind of cut off at her knees, so you couldn't see who was talking to the teacher of the after school classes, saying, "I can't come back to this class. I'm going to quit." And that's where volume 5 left us at.
Yeah, and then in these volumes, we find out so many things.
Yeah, we find out so much. It's a wild ride.
First of all, I would like to say that I knew not to trust I, but I didn't know how deeply to not trust that.
Okay. Yeah, that was crazy. Exactly. And for those who might be jumping into this podcast, first of all, you're very brave. I don't know why you're doing this without hearing about the first 5. But this is a reread for me, because when I first read this, I was in high school. So I only remember bits and pieces and only kind of how it ended. Like, oh yeah, I remember what the protagonist looked like on like the last 5 pages. Okay. And now in the year of our Lord 2020, and I'm 27 now, reading this again, it's like, oh my God, this was more messed up than I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely wondered reading it again. We'll get into that later. But yeah, so the big things that happen in volume 6 are like, or in volume 6 through 10, are like, we find out that So was indeed not the knight.
Yeah,
as I had told him. Wild. Yeah, yeah. What's his name? Kazu... Why can't I remember his name right now?
Oh, Kurosaki?
Kurosaki, yeah.
Yeah.
Duh, like Kurosaki Ichigo, actually. Duh, come on.
Wrong genre.
But it's so helpful to remember. I've been rewatching Bleach, yeah. So
oh my like, God. Oh,
yeah, it's Kurosaki Ichigo. No, Kuchiki, it's always been Kuchiki Byakuya, and Kurosaki Ichigo is where I'm at right now. I'm like, you guys gotta stop full naming each other right now. Like, what are you doing?
The Bishonen of Shonen, Byakuya Kuchiki.
Anyway. Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh God, this guy.
Absolutely. But
yes, Kurosaki was the the knight all along.
Yeah, it turned out that he was the knight. And what was something I found really interesting about that is how they reveal it. Like, the knight was talking, and then he mentioned, like, if only my father didn't XYZ. And I'm like, wait a goddamn minute.
Wait a minute. So doesn't talk about his daddy.
Exactly. Exactly. So, like, oh, here's a reveal.
Well, there are so many things about this. But yes, then we find out the, okay. So yeah, so and Kureha also become like a thing for a hot second. And I was like, lol, of course.
Yeah, because there's a point where Kureha does break up with Mashiro because she felt like Mashiro was pitying her. Like, oh, we're only together to make you feel better about yourself.
I mean, she wasn't wrong.
Yeah. And all throughout that time, I thought, wait, is Kureha a beard? Like, I don't know if you're familiar with the term beard in like...
I am not.
Okay, I will explain what a beard is.
I'm so uncool these days, yeah.
Like, this is kind of a form of queer slang. So when a woman is referred to as a beard, it is a situation where a man who might be closeted is dating a woman to uphold his masculinity.
Yeah, okay.
Like, oh yeah, I'm definitely a masculine, manly man because I have a girlfriend. That's what they mean by a beard. And so Kureha felt like, are you just using me for that? Are you using me to make you feel better about yourself? In that case, we're done.
Yeah. And then she started hanging out with So. Yeah, I was like... Of course.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see them become friends because they ended up like talking to each other about Mashiro. Like, even one of the panels said like club meeting of what, like it was just a little aside, but it said like club meeting of victims of Mashiro Ichijo. And the first thing that came to mind was a scene in Mean Girls.
Yes.
Is there anyone has not seen the 2004 movie Mean Girls, which you might be living under a rock, and that's saying a lot coming from me. There's a scene where a teacher says, like, raise your hand if you've been personally victimized by Regina George, and everybody raises their hand. So that's what immediately reminded me of. Like, raise your hand if you've been personally victimized by Mashiro Ichijo.
Me. But it's only those two. Well, no. So I was like, it's only those two. But I was like, no, we could throw Kurosaki in there, I guess.
I think so. Kurosaki's kind of a weird case in this regard. Because his whole thing is that he's hiding who he really wants to be. And he's just upholding this really perfect kind of guy as a persona. Like, oh, everybody admires me, everybody thinks I'm wonderful and an upstanding member of society. And he's only keeping that up as an act because of how his parents want him to be, specifically his father.
I have to admit that I was like, I was not prepared to be focused on Kurosaki in this, like, you know, we get lots of characters mm-hmm. that we focus on for a short period of time outside of our main three or four, right? Like mm-hmm. if we're including So's sister, which we're getting to. Yeah. But yeah, so I was like, well, this manga only cares about Kureha, So, Mashiro, and I. And so mm-hmm. I was really like thrown off that suddenly we were like cared about Kurosaki for like multiple volumes. And I was like, I don't feel like I care about this boy enough to like be this invested in his oh my god, my dad wants me to be a snobby rich boy and take over his company, and I just like don't want to story. I was like, I don't.
Yeah, they spent an interesting amount of time on him because they even like went into like the point of view, not even the point of view, like Kurosaki's conversations with his chauffeur driver. I thought that was interesting, like these monologues he's having with his chauffeur talking back to him every now and then.
His very reasonable chauffeur, yeah.
Yep. Like, wow, you're acting as a therapist, basically.
Yeah, chauffeur slash therapist, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I guess to me, it's like, okay, it's I guess we have to focus on him because he ends up being the knight, but I'm like, The only interesting part of this to me was the extended discussions they then had about, you know, trying to tell illusion from reality. Like, I thought it was really, really interesting how So was like, oh, yeah, well, I purpose, like, they both, like, Kurosaki and So both played Mashiro independent of, like, they didn't talk about it to each other, right? Like, it wasn't a grand scheme plan. Like, they both were just like, okay, well, Kurosaki, in Kurosaki's case, he's like, it just kind of made me mad and was kind of more convenient for you to think that it was So, because then you're always mad at him instead of me. And So was like, it was just more convenient to have you think, that it was me. So I just let that happen.
Yeah. They didn't discuss this with each other at all. They're just like, wow, you're easy to play. Might as well do it.
Yeah. And so then they have extended discussions about, like, this was your dream. Like, you already thought that you knew what the reality was. But then, of course, it's like, by assuming that reality, like, it kind of became that for a while. Like, that was his the actual reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
For Mashiro. And so then it's just like, oh, yeah, other people's dreams can reflect, like, they can just live in their own realities, right? Like, I think it's actually a very powerful statement about living in your own reality and how, like, everybody's reality is true, right?
Yeah.
Even if they don't line up, which I think is actually a very powerful thing that perhaps we need to learn in this current 2020 timeline. Sometimes I'm like, it's a very good lesson.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we can get more into the dream illusion thing too, with the next twist, which was, actually, I'm a little unclear. Okay. So the eye that we know was actually an illusion of So.
Oh my God, the way that was brought in. Okay, at one point, I think it was in volume 7, Mashiro overhears that So's sister goes to a different school. And Mashiro thinks, oh, that's weird. So she's not a student here. What's up with that?
I don't know. Yeah, so then I'm just wondering. I have so many questions about this. Okay, yeah. So I guess we have to mention also that the ultimate twist of the manga is that really they are not in a school. They are beings. They are babies who have not been born yet, who are in gestation in the parents' bellies.
Yeah,
and I think that's important. I think that's important. And so this is all just a very, very elaborate metaphor of what happens when you're in the womb, right?
Big shrug.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it doesn't hold up all the time, but you know, so that's fine. But so I think that plays into I and the questions I have, because okay, we are told that actually there is a sister named Ai who, like, So and her parents divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So then Ai went with the dad and So stayed with their mom. And, you know, Ai had made all these promises being like, no, So we're going to be together all the time. It's okay. I'll always be there for you. I will take this teddy bear and it will be a stand-in for you. And then the first time he goes to visit her, he sees her, like, drop the teddy bear in place of a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
And
she was wearing a white dress at that time.
Right. And I should note that I only just made the connection that So was a dog in the end in the dreams. We'll get back to that, maybe. So then So is like, no, I has betrayed me, right? So then he makes basically a version of I that is the exact opposite of, that girl that he saw the last time that he went to her house.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's wearing
a black dress.
Yeah, she was wearing a black dress. So she's just way more goth, I guess, is basically what we learned.
Mitsushiro has a thing about gothic Lolita, by the way.
Oh. Yeah, she was definitely rocking that look.
Yeah. Because in her previous work, X Day, there was another character who wore a similar kind of dress, a gothic Lolita dress. So it made me wonder, like, I think she really likes this fashion. That's really cool.
She's really into this aesthetic. Yeah. But yeah, okay, so we're told that actually, like, at some point, real eye dies. So I guess my biggest question is, there was a real eye, right? And she miscarried. Question mark, question mark, question mark.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Okay.
Like, if you're keeping up with the twist that was revealed at the end that in reality.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's also a twist. I didn't even like.
Like,
okay.
I think the eye in the timeline that that we originally knew of, the way they described it was like first she had a headache and then she just died.
Right. But that somehow means that she was linked to like fake eye, in
linked
my opinion. She was linked to like the illusion eye that So was dreaming. That's what it implied to me.
Okay.
And so then I was like, but does that mean she was real or not? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure if we made very clear the whole thing about the eye that we knew of up until a certain point, that So is convinced like, oh, she's right here all the time.
Yeah.
And he would look at these letters, these notes that were left in his desk or given to him, and he would see these little messages from I. But in reality, they were all blank.
Yeah. As soon as Kureha saw it, I was like, oh man, it's not going to say anything. And I was right. But yeah, so like, and So also thinks that he's like in a sexual relationship with fake I, who is not a physical being.
Right.
I just have so many questions.
And so, okay, I'll have to do another reread at some point.
Yeah, can you?
Because like with the case that that the eye that we knew was never really in existence, then all the scenes that we saw with eye, what were we looking at?
Exactly.
Was that all in So's head?
And I'm like, wait, maybe I just missed this, but was So in the dreams? Was he I?
That's what I considered. I thought that same thing. I myself, I'm sorry. The name I in Japanese, it means love, but when you say it in an English sentence.
Yeah. Okay, we're getting confused. Yeah.
Oh God,
that is what you, Muna, thought.
That might get confusing. Hopefully not. But
yeah, but that's not made clear, right? Like, they don't explicitly say that.
Yeah. There's even a scene where you see, like, earlier on, somewhere in volumes 1-5, you see Mizuhashi with a pair of binoculars looking over at So, like being nosy and spying on him.
Yeah. And then it's like, whose perspective is that?
Exactly. That's a very good question. Mizushino's just messing with our heads.
Yeah. I have so many questions.
Exactly.
This is definitely a manga that would benefit from actually a very like rapid reread, right? Like you finish it and then you're like, damn it, I have to just start it over again to see how this plays out. Yeah, I think the biggest twist for me was not that like, yeah, they were really babies in the womb or anything. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I have so many questions about So's sister.
Yeah. I think that's what I have the most questions about. For like, oh God, another thing that I don't think, it was kind of a blinking you'll miss it kind of thing. Mm. But one of the students in the dream, I think it was Kureha, when she was about to fall into her dream, there was a different teacher talking to her.
Oh.
And up until that point, we'd only seen the one teacher who had the really curly hair and the mole on her cheek talking to Mashiro.
Yeah.
And I thought, wait, who's this other school nurse? Who is this?
Oh.
And I have a theory on that.
Well, it was shown, right, that, like, yeah, Mashiro's nurse looked like his mom, right? So is it all their moms?
That's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
I just didn't register, that Kureha had seen somebody else.
Yeah, again, it was like a blink and you'll miss it kind of thing. Like, if one were reading maybe quickly enough, they might have glossed over that or might have missed it. Something I was trying to do really deliberately as I was reading this manga was try to spend a certain amount of time with my eyes lingering on every panel.
Yeah.
On one hand, this is like for ADHD reasons, but on the other hand, it's for art appreciation reasons. Because I majored in art and I took classes about art appreciation and how to think like an artist, et cetera, et cetera. And that being said, I had learned that the average person when in an art museum, like regardless of an art education, if they look at a piece of art in a museum, they don't look at it for long.
Oh, yeah. We super just are like, okay, there's a million art pieces to see, right? So I have to spend 5 seconds with each one.
Yeah, exactly. Or it comes from a place of, I don't get it, and walk away.
Mm.
But I bring that up to say, nowadays when I read comics, I try not to read it just for the words. I always read comics and manga for like the visuals as well. But sometimes when you're really immersed in a story, you just read the words and keep going at the words when the images are just as important, usually. Because usually, depending on the story, it's supposed to immerse you in it. I can't say this for all of them, because for some manga, that's not necessarily the intention. But I still think it's important to at least look.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially After School Nightmare is so, like, there's actually a lot of symbolism in it that, like, mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm missing tons of it. As we discussed last time, you were like, there's different flowers in different scenes. And yeah, if we knew more stuff about flowers, that'd probably be really significant to different things. And, you know, and then, yeah, they all manifest as, you know, different things in their dreams that obviously are supposed to reflect something like metaphor wise and all these things. And I'm just like, goodness, you could write a whole book, like analyzing After School Nightmare.
Sure. I hope someone wrote a thesis on this.
Oh my god, yeah. Somebody out there surely has, right?
I mean, people wrote theses on like Neon Genesis Evangelion, and then Hideaki Anno said like, oh yeah, I added those crosses because they look cool. They didn't really mean much.
I know. I'm like, well, yeah, there's always a layer of like, okay, how much of it is intentional and how much of it is like, it looked cool. Yeah.
Right? Like, exactly.
It's always a delicate balance, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes it's like, okay, I know people have talked about, what's his name? Sigmund Freud. Like, oh, the baseball bat means something phallic. But sometimes it's like, sometimes the baseball bat is just a baseball bat. So it's like, when you draw the line, who knows?
Who knows? You just have fun, everybody.
Yep. And wonder. Yeah. Have fun and wonder.
Yeah. I guess what this is bringing up for me is that, like, again, I think this definitely needs a reread. But now I'm like, okay, yeah, knowing that this is a manga actually about them being babies in a womb, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, the disabled, like, accident mermaid story actually resonates like way more, even though again it's very short, like she's only there for a couple chapters, mm-hmm. but I'm like, oh okay, it's actually even more powerful of a disability representation to be like, people normally consider at least aborting, right? Like babies that develop complications now that we have especially all this testing. Maybe this manga is from 2005. I mean, our rapid advances in technology are very scary.
Oh, yeah, good point.
I'm sure you could do this, but yeah. But I do think that we've made like rapid advances in technology, and those things become more affordable with as time goes on and stuff like that. So I'm just like, oh yeah, that's interesting.
The thing that I had lost and now I remember again, at the very beginning of the series, it was called back to in the very last volume. And it was basically that, like, what happened before, like, do you remember the very beginning of your life?
No.
Like, what's the furthest memory that you have? And apparently, Mashiro didn't even exist until the events of the first volume.
I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense based on how none of them, like, they don't have a past, really. Like, they have past to their parents. But my theory about that is that it's like, you know, they say that babies can hear stuff in the womb. So we like play them music and everything to make them, you know, smarter, harder, better, faster, stronger babies, you know.
Wait, what about Kureha then? Because she had a past of being sexually assaulted.
I know, but I still feel like there's mostly like, this is why I have questions about it. I'm like, so why do they have like weird pasts? But yeah, then they don't remember like critical things or like have friend networks before they go to the school, right? But I'm still just like, I kind of feel like, with Kureha, like Kureha does get assaulted is what we're said, what we're told. But I feel like a lot of the emphasis was actually just more on how her dad said horrible things, right? And I was like, okay, I could believe that was like a thing that she hears, you know, as a baby in a womb, right? Like that could be like a plausible metaphor thing that I could be fine with. Yeah, but otherwise, I'm like, I don't know what to make about all this sexy stuff in the like weird random pasts that they have. Yeah, I'm like, what does this mean? But like, it makes sense for Kurosaki too, right? Like what I'm saying of like they can hear stuff. Like I could totally see, you know, a dad who's a big corporate overlord be like, oh my God, yeah, I hope that you come out someday and you like take over for me and like blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and the mom being like, oh, please, I hope that you can like live up to your father's dreams and all this stuff. Like I'm like, that seemed totally reasonable to me, actually. Yeah.
I know that with Kurosaki, he went to his mother being able to confide in her at first. But when she made it clear, like, I'm about to die, you do need to do what your father says.
Yeah, so then does she die in real life and need to have him cut out? Okay. Oh, this manga, you just asked so many questions.
Absolutely. At the very end, well, in the last volume, we do see the black moon.
Yeah.
And that is some heavy foreshadowing that Mashiro is about to graduate. And he unintentionally says a sentence or two in past tense, and that is picked up on by Sol. Like he said, why did you say that in past tense? And Mashiro couldn't pinpoint why.
I was also confused because I was like, that thing didn't even happen yet, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I wish I could have seen it. It's like, wait, why did you say it like that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think when I read it, I was like confused, but I see now. He's like regretting that in the future he won't even be there. See?
His imminent disappearance. And at the end, when when it's becoming more clear that this is basically an AU of fetuses.
Fetus AU, okay. It's true. That's a good way. I mean, all right, you blow my mind right now.
A better phrase, I guess. The fetus AU.
The fetus AU.
Take note for your next fanfic audience.
Yeah. Take notes for your taglines that you should have on your professional copy right here.
Go to 803. Go to the fetus AU tag.
Yeah.
Anyway. When that starts becoming more clear, the hospital that all the mothers are in, like, it's facing an emergency. It's on fire. And meanwhile, in the world of the dreams, well, not even the world of the dreams, the where all the students are all awake, there's a fire going on in the school. So that's how it starts to meld together, that there's this common event happening that ties.
Yeah, and they all are stuck together in the school forever, yeah.
Yes and no, I guess. Because Mashiro it's shown that he is still dreaming even as the school is on fire.
Yeah, because he's being born. He's having a rough birth.
Yeah.
Because nothing can be chill in this manga.
No, exactly. And in this hospital, where all these mothers are, like, they're on their hospital beds and the building's on fire. The one implied to be Mashiro's mother, she falls out of her bed. Oh, and before that, she is told that she's about to have twins.
Yeah.
She's about to have a baby boy and a baby girl. And she falls out of her bed when this emergency is happening. And at this very same time, Mashiro in the dream world is graduating. He found the key, he opened the door, and he is on his way to his next plane of existence, where his body just, like, he sees what looks like just a black circle, and he falls in, and his body falls apart.
This manga definitely has something to say about how life is a constant battle, apparently.
Yeah, it sure does.
And how it's bent on tearing you apart. Yeah.
Oh, in a literal sense here. Yeah.
Yes. Figurative, literal. So. Yeah.
And in this new life that Mashiro faces, Mashiro is a girl. And even says that she was supposed to have a brother, but he died in childbirth.
Yes, which I think leads to another big discussion point. Yeah, which is that, like, last time in particular, we had talked about Mashiro being intersex and mm-hmm. being intersex representation. And I guess I was like, wait a minute. But if Mashiro actually was shown in the end to be two separate beings, and mm-hmm. the Mashiro that we knew had to kill, like, one of those possibilities, those fates, literally another person, I'm just like, again, I have many questions. Because first of all, we were never shown that Mashiro is, like, literally two separate beings, right? Like, mm-hmm. So where was this? Does that mean the brother who died was just never a possibility? I guess I'm not caught up. Like, I've fallen out of touch with my science, so I can't remember, like, when twins start really developing, like, into separate beings. So was it at the beginning of the manga, Mashiro and her brother were the same, and then throughout the manga they start splitting? Like, I was just like, this doesn't seem to hold up, like, structure-wise. Yeah.
It does make me wonder if Mizushiro, the manga artist, if she had the ending planned from the start.
I definitely feel like she must have had this one, like, pretty planned out. Because, I mean, I think it's also, you know, it's 10 volumes, which apparently is, you know, like, 10 months is about, actually, the gestation period of humans. So, yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure the 10 volumes was, like, on purpose, right? Like, yeah.
Interesting.
Like, almost each volume is 1 month. And then, yeah, you know, being born.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting theory.
Yeah. I have no proof of anything that I say. Y'all, nothing that I say is the word of God, okay? So let's be clear. But that's definitely how I felt. And then, I mean, it was interesting reading her side notes, because she definitely was like, oh, it got marketed as, you know, a horror manga. So She was like, I had to rearrange. Like, she definitely talks about rearranging some of the character beats that she had within the story, right. But I never got the sense that she didn't know what they were, you know? Which made me believe that she had it like pretty down before she, you know, got too far in the manga itself. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. At the very start of the series, Mashino has his first period, like his first literal menstrual period.
Yeah.
Like, this takes place in a school. I don't mean like his first like class. I know. Literally, he starts bleeding. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm like, okay, is that part of their breaking apart? Is that part of his brother already like not being a possibility, or her brother not being a possibility?
I think that might be the case. Yeah. And throughout the manga, because toward the end, like around volume 5 or 6, Mashiro does start referring to himself in more feminine ways. Like, he does say, like, I'm a horrible girl.
Oh, Mashiro definitely gets, increasingly feminine, which again, I think is very funny, because then, like, when I first started reading this manga, I said on the last podcast, when I looked at the covers, I thought Mashiro was a girl. But then, you know, you read the story and he insists that he's masculine. So I'm like, okay, so I read him as masculine. And then, yeah, the switch that you have to do, I was like, oh, this is very hard. And I think that's very, to use a basic word, realistic of what does happen when, you know, somebody transitions. It's not that most people around, like, of course, some people probably are, you know, like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to change pronouns for you and XYZ, but like people who knew you for a while, it's just really hard for them to get out of the habit because their brain is just so used to it, right? Like so they misgender you and all these things, but they're not intentionally being malicious, right? Like so I'm like, I'm not intentionally being malicious to Mashiro. It's just really hard, actually, after going through 5 or 6 volumes being like, oh yeah, he's a dude, to be like, oh, just kidding, you know, or like new information. I don't want to make it a joke. Just new information. Mashiro actually prefers to be female, and I'm like, it's just hard, because I'm like, that's what I assumed at first, and now it's hard for me to go back.
It's really interesting, because when I first got into After School Nightmare, I immediately assumed Mashiro was masculine, and I think part of that is because I'm really used to media related to Bishonen characters. Like, I just kind of saw Mashiro as, like, a really soft guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it fits. I think when I first looked at Mashiro, yeah, I just assumed female. And, like, kind of my first big anime was The Vision of Escaflowne, and the main character of that, Hitomi, has short hair too, so I wasn't like thrown, like I was like, oh, the hair doesn't throw me off, right? Like it doesn't matter that Mashiro's hair is short in any way. I don't know. Yeah, so this manga is very hard. Yeah, I have questions. I have so many questions.
Oh, and even so appears in the last page, like a reborn so.
I know.
And what's interesting about that?
He became a Megane, though.
Yeah, he is a Megane. He's got the glasses.
Yeah.
And something interesting about that is that you don't see a reborn Kureha. And I thought, I wish I could have seen like all three of them in one panel. That would have been cool.
Well, I mean, like, they tried to figure out that they all died.
True.
Because the building's on fire and they were like on the top, the moms were on the top floor. And by the time the firefighters got there, it was pretty bad. And in the dream school world, like Kureha, So, and the other two schmucks that I can't remember their names, the parasite and the copycat dude.
Yeah, the copycat dude kind of came by surprise, at least to me. Because it's like, wait, who are you again?
Who are you
again? Were you even here before? I don't remember you.
Apparently they were both there before, and we're like, sure, why not? If you say so.
They might have been retconned in.
No, well, I mean, I'd have to reread it again.
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing worth rereading. Like, there are a couple of things I'm like, wait, when was that mentioned?
Are you adding them back into panels that they weren't there for? Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So I'm like, wait a sec.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. But yeah, so they were shown all like praying that Mashiro would be born. And so, yeah, my implication was that, you're supposed to believe they're all dead, right? But then So shows up and you're like, oh my God, yes. So maybe Kureha is alive, but I was like, you know what? It might actually be okay if she's dead.
Huh.
I mean, I'd be sad because actually Kureha is the best character.
Nice.
just for real.
Yeah, So's an asshole. I'm not going to lie.
It's not So. I mean, I definitely started to like So more, like, you know, when he started to become friends with Kureha. But yeah. I'm just like, it's just so hard to like him.
He did show a more sensitive a side of himself when he did start to befriend Kureha. And I thought that was really interesting. Like, he was showing this genuine concern for her.
Yeah, and I think that they just have a funnier dynamic than, like, Mashiro has, like, a stick up their butt a lot of the time. And yeah, everybody's like, Mashiro keeps trying to play a prince, or is it a princess? You know what? We don't care. The point is, he doesn't, like, he's not, paying attention to people for the other person's sake. Mashiro's just doing it to reassure his own identity at any given moment and stuff. Yeah, so like, I feel like anybody plus Mashiro is annoying. And like, Kureha, I think, has a more abrasive personality, but like, it's refreshing because she's just like, get out of here. You're so dumb, copycat boy. I'm going to stab you. And like, okay, so.
Yeah, she gets much more assertive later.
Yeah. Like, Kureha obviously was very girly and shy in the beginning, but then by the end, she's like, I am a badass and I know it. And I'm like, yes, girl, exactly. Get it.
And she doesn't absolutely like recoil at the sight of men anymore.
Yeah, she's just like, okay, so yeah, just like So and her have very funny stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
I also was like, is this Black Rose play thing that they wanted to put on? I understand that none of the plot seemed like anything from Utena, but I was like, is this a reference to Utena?
That's a good question.
And the Black Rose arc.
Oh my God. Huh.
But then like made it even sillier being like, there are 12 vampire boys.
Wow.
After the Black Rose Princess's heart. And I was like, okay. This is very 2005.
Oh, definitely. And like, I think part of something that was starting to illustrate was they were starting to reach a point where they were happy.
Right? Just like chill happiness. They didn't stay there for very long.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They didn't stay there long. And they were reaching a point of peace. And I think that was a sign that they were ready to graduate.
Yeah. Well, it was fun to pick up on the like, why do we even as the audience, like, we know when they're going to graduate. They see a hole opening up in the sky.
A little bittersweet there. And then the fire happens. It's like, oh, it's not bittersweet anymore. And now it's just heart-wrenching.
It's just anxious making.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm just like, man, did you need this fire thing? You had everything. You had so much already in here.
And I'm thinking, like, with the overall themes of the story, especially with gender and physical sex and sexuality being a huge part of it, I thought, what was this story trying to say about gender or sex? Was it trying to say anything at all? And was it a mind screw for shock value? Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, regardless of whether it was a mind screw for shock value, people are going to take away that it has stuff to say about gender. And I think that, in my Discord, there was somebody who was like, I would never recommend a trans person read this manga. Because as the last time we had talked more about the gender essentialism that happens in this manga. But I really think I would never say that. And I think it depends on what type of story you I actually usually prefer dark stories. I have come around more to I can tell the evolution in myself because I'm like, oh, yes, these happy stories. Wow, they're amazing. Steven Universe and She-Ra and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is fun. Happy people being happy sometimes. my biggest confusion is that I'm like, I like, since we mentioned Bleach earlier, I'm like, I like Orihime? Question mark? Weird. Interesting.
Maybe I'll have to reread Bleach now.
But yeah, so I'm just like, if you like to, After School Nightmare is not afraid to go anywhere, right? And I think that actually is still valuable in a story to just be like, I don't know that, it has all the right answers or conclusions or anything, but it's just not afraid to be like, I don't know, I'm going to bring it up and do something dark and twisted and shrug. if you like dark and twisted stuff, absolutely read After School Nightmare. If you like dark and twisted stuff and you're interested in gender discussions, read After School Nightmare,
I'm glad that you brought up the fact that you said that in your Discord, that someone said that they wouldn't recommend After School Nightmare to a trans reader.
Yeah.
Earlier on, when I agreed to do this podcast with you, I actually did wonder to myself, I wonder if it would be better off if someone who were trans were to go on this podcast to talk about it, because I was wondering, maybe I'm not quite qualified enough to talk on certain issues other than just what I know.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trans or intersex, so I can't say I know exactly how a lot of these things feel.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely fair. I feel the issue with this one is that, the twist isn't until the end, right? So, you read it and you don't even know. You assume intersex. And then I feel it does kind of transform, into a trans story, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that sure is a thing that happened. Yeah, and I mean, you get all the normal, transformation-y things, except for the hair cutting, I guess, type of deal, actually, or any transformation of hair. But yeah, Mashiro is always waffling between whether to wear a boy's or a girl's uniform, which I'm trying to think now, because my romantic partner is trans, and I think it's very funny because he went to, private school growing up. So in America compared to Japan, uniforms aren't as big of a thing. my trans partner actually did have to, grow up with uniforms, and it was a big deal in high school when he was like, I am not, wearing the female uniform anymore. So I think it's actually very powerful for it to be a school setting in After School Nightmare and in Japan and these things. But yeah, in general, I'm just it's very hard to be make somebody who hasn't already read this story, who is trans, be like, hey, yeah, read this manga, because you're like, oh man, it's just so it's just exactly. A lot, right? You can't really ask that of somebody for sure. They have to be intrigued themselves.
And something that we mentioned earlier was sort of that intersection between shoujo manga and boys love manga. Because in the end, Mashiro mostly gets with So.
Yeah. Oh, that actually is very funny because, my partner was reading kind of the last volume with me in bed earlier. I was reading it because I had to read it for this podcast, and he was just like, I don't have anything to do while I'm cuddling next to you, so I'm gonna read this final volume, which I just think is very funny. And at one point he was like, okay, he's like, this is fine because it's gay. And I was like, well, no, because Mashiro currently actually identifies as female, even though they're currently wearing the guy's uniform in this scene. And it was like, oh god, it's so complicated.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting because, okay, I did look into what other manga ran in the magazine that After School Nightmare ran in. So After School Nightmare ran in Princess Magazine, which is an Akita Shoten publication. So if anyone is as interested as I am in defunct manga publications, well, Princess is still ongoing, but the English licensor for After School Nightmare is defunct. Yeah. And in addition, another manga that's run in Princess Magazine is From Eroica with Love, which is one of my favorites. It's been running since like the 70s. And that was licensed by CMX Comics, which was a manga licensor that went defunct in 2010. If you ever read From Eroica with Love, please let me know. I need to talk to someone about it. I've only read the first volume, but it is by far one of my favorite manga. But I bring up that particular manga because it's considered like a boys' love staple.
My understanding is that back in the day, like, you said it's from the 70s, right?
Mm-hmm.
It started in the 70s. Yeah, my understanding from what I've learned just doing this podcast, so I haven't read a lot of like scholarship about anything, but from people who have come on this podcast and did do more of that scholarship, my understanding is that boys' love and shoujo actually weren't as separated.
Exactly.
Historically, right? But now the bifurcation is much stronger.
Yeah. Yeah, earlier on with in the boys' love genre, boys' love ran in shoujo magazines, like Kaze Toki no Uta, Song of the Wind and Trees. I don't remember which magazine it ran in when it debuted, but it was definitely in a shoujo magazine.
Yeah, I mean, to me, again, the bifurcation confuses me mildly because, like, they're words that describe different things, right? And, like, one isn't exclusive of the other. Because shoujo is just targeted at younger girls, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all it really means.
Yeah.
And then boys' love is just a description of the, like, gender/sex of the romance that's going to happen.
Right.
And so I'm like, those aren't mutually exclusive things. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. I know that there's a really, a term that I was introduced to kind of recently called josei muke. And the way it was described to me was basically as an umbrella term for things like boys love, shoujo, josei, and otome media. But there's, even within that, there's like some overlaps because josei muke is like, this is aimed at like women and girls, like for the most part, like there can be overlap with other things, but for the most part, it's aimed at women and girls. So things like a lot of the mobile games that are popular these days, like Obey Me, if you've heard of that one, or A3. Have you heard of either of those?
I am not, because I am very bad at keeping up with the otomes.
Oh, that's fine. Obey Me is a really popular one these days. If you like demons, you'll like it.
I see. Sexy demons. Okay.
That's the big appeal of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like a lot of these media like this, like, is supposed to be aimed towards women in general. Regardless of the gender of the characters involved.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess I've also always been confused about, like, I don't want to exclude, I'm just, like, yaoi. I've also been confused about it for Yuri, too. I'm like, Yuri is not...
a very interesting case. Like, there's always been, every now and then, discourse related to who Yuri is made for, and the... I think lately the consensus has been like, it's for anyone and everyone. It's fine.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, I can see why, you know, if yaoi is presumed to be for women, I'm like, okay, in some ways, yeah, it makes sense that Yuri is for men, but I'm just like, I just don't feel like these things have to be true. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and there's a lot more overlap and intermingling these days, especially now, because... like queer identities are starting to gain more of a visibility in Japanese media, I notice. Like, I don't know if you're aware about the creator of Fushigi Yugi, Yu Watase. They came out as non-binary in recent years.
Yeah, I have talked about that recently. I've been like, oh my goodness, it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading some kind of interview ages ago, even before Yu Watase came out as non-binary. They had said like, oh yeah, I hate tropes in shoujo manga. And I thought at the time, like, wait, why are you still making shoujo manga if you hate them?
Yeah, I was always like, Yu Watase hates gender stereotyping, basically. Like,
yeah,
when Watase went to write a shonen series, it was still like pretty shoujo-y. And I was like, Watase wants to exist somewhere in the middle. Yeah,
just like, good for them. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I hope, yeah, this bifurcation does become less strong going on. And again, I think that is one of the actual appeals of After School Nightmare, is that After School Nightmare feels like it just doesn't care about any conventions. So it just does whatever, right? Like,
I would say it does and it doesn't, because it does play around and sort of break some of those expectations, but it sort of relies on the idea that the audience knows about these stereotypes and might believe some of them.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. I mean, it's always like, you have to know the thing before you can, just go crazy, subvert it, which is why I always get, this is a silly example, but yeah, I'm always like, Kill la Kill is one of my favorite anime, and I'm like, I can't recommend it to anybody who hasn't watched, like, you know, anime before, because you just don't get that. You don't get anything that's happening in it. Yeah,
like, and the fan service might be a little off-putting to people who are new.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, no, you don't appreciate this series unless you've animated like a significant amount.
Exactly. Like being aware of certain tropes and then seeing how they're broken.
Yeah. But I still think, like, again, I'm always like, I don't ever want to be essentialist about stories either. Like, I still think that After School Nightmare, for people who are maybe questioning and like dark stories, is actually like somewhat helpful.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Could be interesting to help you explore and think about different things. Yeah.
Yeah. Shouldn't be used as a like guidebook or anything. No.
No.
Absolutely not.
No. Yeah. I guess I just wanted to read one of the listeners replied being like, I love this series so much. So I replied back being like, oh yeah, what do you love about it? And their handle is appbizarre5011 on Twitter.
Oh, nice.
They replied, they love the dark themes, like finding yourself, who to trust, love triangles. Always got to love a good love triangle.
Oh, absolutely.
Beautiful art, the plot, twists and turns, like so many things that they love. And then they followed up with, oh, and hot characters. I was like, you can never forget hot characters.
So absolutely.
Most important. Yeah, so I think we've gone through a lot of the big themes and stuff. So if you're comfortable, we can circle back around to any thoughts that come up later. But we should do, I guess, some form of shipping corner.
Because I have an answer for this.
Ships happened. Yeah, okay. So, actually, for a hot second, I'm going to try to list them in order of, like, concreteness that they like are, you know, like,
yeah,
like a reality within the crazy non-reality of the series. So for a hot second, from least reality to most reality. Okay, so for a hot second, Kurosaki and Mashiro were like a thing, maybe.
Yeah, I thought that had a lot of potential. I hope that they would take that a few steps further, but they didn't. I'm like, darn.
Yeah, I feel like that might have helped me care about Kurosaki more.
Yeah,
honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just feel like I get it intellectually, you know, like
yeah,
Kurosaki was this nice guy and he's pretty good looking, like, and the point is that he has this like hard turn and like suddenly he's not such a nice guy and he's like frustrated and just like letting it all out on people and all these things. And so I'm just like, I get it, but yeah, I wanted him to have like a nice soft moment with Mashiro, maybe, you know. I think that would have helped me like care before his hard turn more. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kurosaki, you got shortchanged by this story, is how I feel.
Sorry, bro.
Go fight Kuchiki Byakuya now. No. Okay, so then for a hot second, we had So and Kureha, which I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of into.
Oh, same. Yeah, like, oh, and the part where So suddenly kisses Kureha when they see Mashiro, and they do it just to make him mad.
Oh, yeah. I was like, you guys are so bad. You guys are so good at being bad.
Exactly. And it was Kureha's idea.
Yeah, it was kind of like a strange delight to see them together, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, someone's salty. Both of you are.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get together for the sake of upsetting our common enemy. Oh, I love this dynamic.
I love it. I know. And as I said before, they also are like, they're like the funniest together because, you know, So will be like, it was one panel that I flagged. I guess I could look it up on my phone really quickly. Oh, I guess it wasn't actually him talking to Kureha. He was talking to Mashiro. But, you know, So, I guess Mashiro was saying something about, you know, being jealous that he was with Kureha for a second. And he's like, I get it. You know, Kureha's better than me. She's cuter and all these things. And So is like, I don't think you guys are comparable. And so his thought bubbles are, Fujishima's like a hot-tempered squirrel. Sometimes she throws walnuts at me. And it's just a picture of Kureha as a squirrel. And then So getting hit with a walnut saying, ouch, all cute, how cute. And then he's like, Ichijo is like a penguin, I guess, tall and resolute as he stares ahead. I wonder what he's looking at. The cute little thing. It's like, what? This is the inside of So slots. They're like, they're just, it's so silly. It's like, just delightful. Just
absolutely.
But in the end, Megane, So, and female Mashiro apparently are a real couple. Well, also, Dream Mashiro and So were also a real couple. So how does that make you feel?
Wait, was at the very end for Mashiro and So, I thought they didn't really go into like...
Oh, that's true. They weren't. They didn't know each other.
Yeah.
That's the implication. Come on.
Yeah, like they kind of left you hanging, like...
They get on the same train on different doors, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, will they ever talk again? Will they ever meet again? Who knows? The story's over.
Some your name level nonsense right here.
But as for shipping, honestly, I have an OT3. It is So, Kureha, and Mashiro. Mashiro in the middle.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yep, I'm the OT3 camp here.
Yeah, I mean, the answer to love triangles, again, is always why not both?
Exactly.
And it's very strong in this one.
Absolutely. Very, very. And it's just an inherently queer kind of situation. And I adore that.
Yeah, in both ways.
Exactly.
All sides, yeah.
They can all love each other together.
Polyamory.
Hell yeah.
We support it. Even though I super would be like, oh my God, having one partner is hard enough. No, I can't have another one. You know, like personally, I'm like, oh God, no. Just like, absolutely not.
There was this one, I was about to say Vine, but Vine is dead. This one RIP TikTok, Vine. I guess.
Yeah.
That was, I think it was tagged under, this is what polyamory is like, or this is what ethical non-monogamy is like. And it was a triad, so three people. And two of them were like, I like being polyamory because my partner gets to do my hair. And the other one who was doing the hair was like, I love her. I get to do her hair. And then the third partner was out like doing home improvement work on the roof. So that was like so Kureha and Machino like doing each other's hair, and So is like out on the deck.
Yeah, just yep. I mean, again, yeah. Imagine what you could accomplish, yeah, with three people.
Exactly.
Three adults in your household. I mean, so much possibility, you know. Okay, well, yeah. I think that covers, you know, the basics of After School Nightmare, because again, as we said, you could write a kajillion papers just about each, you know, dream manifestation of each person.
Absolutely. Or make an OC.
Yeah. Yeah.
just the whole AU of this.
Yeah. You could write a whole damn book that's probably longer than After School Nightmare, analyzing After School Nightmare. Like, it's that type of manga, you know? So I'm not the podcast that's going to go into each chapter by chapter. That's not this podcast. This is just a podcast where we talk about it and you are like, hard agree, or like, no, I disagree so much, you know, about everything. But yeah, do you have any final thoughts about this? I did actually want to address, yeah, reading it for a second time, how did it like change anything for you, just like clearly?
Oh man, I'm surprised it didn't, like, it left an impression on me the first go around. But on the second reading, it's like, why didn't it leave a bigger impression? like for some of them, it's like, how did I not remember that? How did I not remember that they were all basically fetuses?
Oh yeah. Oh,
like, how did I forget some of these things? These are very important.
Yeah, what twist did you remember?
I remembered the fact that Mashiro was reborn as a girl at the very end. That I remembered. For some reason, the last couple of panels really stood out in my mind. And the fact that it was left really ambiguous, I remembered that. The fact that So's sister was a figment of his imagination. I don't know how I forgot that. That's big. How could I?
I think
not
that's the one that's
going to
stick with me the most. You know.
Yeah. Same. Like, so this was all in your head, my dude.
Yeah, it's weird.
This is like your comfortable imaginary friend. Who went awry?
Oh yeah, I was like, this is some extreme take on imaginary friends right here. Because I did think it was interesting that overall the manga, you know, like, does address some very big things that in childhood could distress you, and you don't have the, you know, like, full capacity to process them or, you know, handle them even. But I was like, oh man, imaginary friends just got hella weird in this manga. way more sexual than I wanted it to be, just like all around. Like, that's definitely the most extreme thing. That's why I'm like, it's gonna live with me forever.
Oh yeah. And you said you hadn't read this until I mentioned it, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. This is my first go through. That's why I'm like, oh wow. I was not prepared.
Yeah.
I was not prepared. So I feel like, yeah, it's one of those manga where I'm like, okay, I gotta read it again in like, yeah, 10 years or something, and see how I feel about it.
Only the third go around at this, maybe, knowing what I know now. Like, okay, what did I miss? What makes more sense now?
Yeah, what makes more sense? What makes less sense? Like, I think it goes both ways here. Yep.
And I'll have to see if I can find. Are you familiar with the site, the TV Tropes Wiki?
Yeah.
I remember years and years ago when I was in high school reading this, I went on the TV Tropes Wiki to see what they had to say about this manga. And I think this was before more people my age were starting to be more aware of queer issues. Because some people were saying like, oh, it's impossible to have both masculine and feminine anatomy. And I'm thinking now, like, no, it is possible.
Yeah.
Being intersex is totally a thing.
Possible. Yeah, yeah, totally possible.
So I kind of wonder if I were to go back there, maybe things have changed. Maybe people will have whole new speculations about this story.
I know, that's true. That's why I feel like I'm like, this story is a story that evolves with time, I feel, you know. Yeah.
Good point.
So, you know, everybody, we're all going to have to keep rereading this manga. That's basically the conclusion of this podcast. and I definitely expect anybody who has read it to come and hard agree and disagree with something that we said in this podcast. Mm-hmm. So please tell me. Anyway, I will tell you how to tell me now. Thanks for listening to Shoujo and Tell. Comments, questions, constructive criticism, concerns. Need to gush about your OTP or OT3? Email shoujoandtell@gmail.com or leave a comment on the episode's YouTube page. We're at Shoujo and Tell on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Muno, where can people find you and your work on the internet?
Yeah, so on Facebook and Twitter, you can find me at Moontoons Art. Moon spelled M-O-O-N, like the celestial body in the sky. Toons spelled T-O-O-N-S, like cartoons. And art spelled exactly how you think. Instagram, I am Moontoons. And Tumblr, I am at Moon-Toons. You can find my art, my comics, my Patreon, all that good stuff. And it's October. I'm currently participating in Blacktober. Take a look at some of my artworks and see if you can find your faves. Talk to me about Hypnosis, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I do love Moon Tunes. That is very good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you excited every time you see a new episode from us? If so, please consider leaving a rating on Apple Podcasts. This will help the show reach more hearts, or at least ears. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next time for some shoujo or a jose. I don't know, okay? But I'm going to figure it out. Stay tuned to find out. Until then, bye.
Bye.